Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on with Melissa Cooper, Director of Treasury Management, Sales, and Onboarding at Associated Bank. Melissa, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I want to focus our conversation here at the beginning on fraud. I know this is a conversation you and I have had over many conversations in the past, and AI has been involved in those talks, and I know that's going to be a big part of how fraud prevention plays out in the coming year. Talk to us a little bit about the advances in AI fraud protection and how, let's say, a bank like Associated is using it.
Yeah, so AI has been a really powerful tool that banks are starting to incorporate into the day-to-day operations and really helping us to detect anomalies in the way our customers are processing transactions. So helping to detect fraudulent checks that might be coming through, unusual activities, unusual logins to their online profile, and just really giving us an extra edge in sort of detecting some of those things. It's not foolproof, certainly, but it is helping us as, you know, transactions are in the thousands per day, tens of thousands. It helps us to identify those unusual things and really just give us an opportunity to stop and just check and see, does this make sense for the customer? And often helping us stop some of those fraudulent transactions before they go through.
Yeah, and this is a big problem. In 2023, one report said there were about $10 billion worth of fraud losses, and that was about a 14% increase over 2022. Is this a case of the criminals getting smarter just as we're getting smarter, banks and other organizations are getting smarter in fighting them?
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Just like, you know, you can download ChatGPT and other types of AI tools, so can fraudsters. And so they're using that technology to also embolden their ability to, you know, try to trick the system as well. So that's a lot to it, is the AI technology is just, it's open to everyone to use.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit more about developing ways to fight this. You mentioned a few of them, but I was reading that there's enhanced ID verification going on. There's, as you mentioned, the scanning of where transactions are taking place. But also on the other side of that, some of the fakes are getting smarter as well, videos and other documents that have been faked that look really real. Is AI catching all of that?
Yes. So deep fakes are getting really, really good. And as I think we've talked about in the past, originally it was a little bit too expensive for the fraudsters to be able to use. But now that it's, you know, come down market, it's cheaper for them to use like really good deep fakes from video and phone and things of that nature. So yes, some of these AI tools are helping to detect it. But, you know, obviously a lot of the fraud starts with our customers. And so the deep fakes are happening at their level, which as a bank, we don't have access to. So it's really about how do our customers, both business and consumers, think about protecting themselves from some of these deep fakes before it even gets to the banks to help as well.
What are your predictions for fraud prevention in 2025, if you have any?
What are my predictions for fraud? I think it's a hard question, Steve. So I think, you know, banks will continue to do what banks do. And we spend a lot of money on trying to bolster our systems to help protect consumers from it. You know, we're not only it's the right thing to do, but from a regulatory standpoint, we're obligated to do some of this stuff. But I do think, you know, it's beholden on to businesses and consumers also to educate themselves. So I think as we have conversations like this, as I know our bank Associated puts out a lot of content around how to protect yourselves. I think the future is really consumers also having a hand, consumers and businesses kind of also having a hand in this and learning and trying to protect their systems as much as possible to help sort of create this barrier against fraud and scams.
I know we've talked in the past about check fraud and strategies for fighting that. There were, I think the same report said 65% of respondents to a survey found that there was check fraud related to their accounts. And this is businesses and consumers. How are we getting smarter with fighting check fraud? We've talked about AI, but are there other ways banks are fighting check fraud?
Yeah, I mean, I think the newest way is AI. So a lot of banks have put in systems to help help our customers identify it a little bit more regularly as well. Again, it's not foolproof, but certainly there are some tools we're using. There's also like some older tools like Check Positive Pay that customers can entitle, that allows them to basically send us a list of checks saying this is what we authorize, and the bank, as those checks clear, matches it up against those authorized checks. And if something doesn't look right, we'll send a notice to the customer saying, hey, there's something trying to clear your account that doesn't look right. Let us know if it's good or not. And so that's a tool that's been around for quite some time. And there's different levels of it. There's reverse positive pay, regular positive pay, and pay e-positive pay. But that's one of the main tools that a business can use to protect themselves. But I also say, we've talked about this before, limiting your use of checks is probably the best thing to do. Because consumers, unfortunately, don't have access to that positive pay product. So using, moving away from checks, using things like a credit card, using wallets like a PayPal wallet or an Apple wallet, also helps protect customers, and just shifting away from checks to more electronic payments that they can control.
Because once you put that check in the mail, that's when the risk goes up, isn't it? Because we've talked in the past, too, about check washing. So somebody steals your check out of the mail and then it's over, right?
Correct. Exactly. So, the crime against our U.S. Postal Service service people is up dramatically over the last couple of years. And a lot of times they're accessing the fraudsters, the people who are thieving, are stealing checks from them, taking them, like you said, washing them, doing counterfeit checks, and replicating them. And there's really very little that you can do once that's out in the mail universe, as I call it, to protect yourselves once that happens.
Melissa, AI is helping the fraudsters and the banks and other places fight fraud, but in some cases it's just old-fashioned scamming that's still happening. And this might be a good opportunity for you to help remind everybody how to fight against that, how to prevent. And I'm talking on a consumer level here, where people don't have AI to help them fight romance scams, bank scams, all kinds of money scams. How do people protect themselves?
Yeah, no, good question. I'm glad you asked it, because I've got a list here, too, to say. So I think the first thing is, I think people need to be skeptical, right? That's the first thing I would say. When someone's reaching out to you, if it seems like it's too easy, if it's a whirlwind of money, it's probably a scam. And so just having a lens of skepticism when you're getting approached by these things is healthy. It's okay. I tell people it's okay to be skeptical, right? Don't share. So the way you want to protect yourself is don't be so open to sharing your personal information. So if you're getting asked about Social Security numbers and your financial information, a warning sign should go off in your head, and you should be very leery of sharing that, especially if you didn't solicit the request, right? If you're getting calls from individuals, I always say hang up and call back to that official. So like if you got a call from your bank out of the blue, it's probably a fraudster. So you want to be like, you know what, I need to get back to you and actually call your bank to a legitimate number in order to really find out if that's a true request or not. The other piece, too, is updating your software and your computers and your phones. If you don't have automatic updates on your Android or your Apple phone, you want to make sure you're doing that, because those updates often have fraud fixes to help protect your systems from being hacked by the fraudster. So really, it's healthy level of skepticism. Don't let authority throw you off. Make sure you're asking questions. The other thing I will say against AI, Steve, is because the deepfakes have gotten so good at mimicking like family members' voices and things of that nature, have a keyword amongst your family members that just your family members know, so that if you do get asked this, you can say, hey, what's our favorite holiday place? And that's only something that your family would know. So that's another way to protect against some of the deep fakes that we see out there.
Well, that's really good advice. Melissa, I was reading this story that the number of older people being scammed is way higher than younger people. It was 37% of people 65 and older have experienced some sort of bank or credit account fraud, while only 15% of young adults reported the same. What is it that's causing older people to be more susceptible?
Yeah, so I think it's the uncomfortability with just technology, right? I have like my mother and my aunts and, them just being comfortable with using their phones and being susceptible to just, you know, not being very comfortable for it, with it, right? And so that's why a lot of our older population falls victim to some of this stuff as well, because they're just not used to it. And so I encourage, you know, the younger people in their lives, really help their older members to get comfortable with the technology. And again, encourage them to push back. If they have questions and stuff, it's okay to like hang up the phone and push back on some of that stuff. I will say though, you know, the research also shows that younger people tend to fall victim to some of these employment scams and things of that nature as well. So each age group does have something they're falling for. It's just different based off of, you know, where they're at in the age spectrum, if you will.
If someone does become a victim of a scam, how quickly can a bank help them, or how successful is a bank in helping them? If it's, let's say, a check fraud situation or a bank account fraud situation, is it resolvable?
It depends, right? So the first thing is you want to call your bank right away, the minute you find out that there's an issue, because the sooner the better for a bank, because there are certain rules amongst banks in terms of when we can recover funds and all that kind of stuff. And so once you know, you want to call your bank right away. And so the way to do that is, and I think I've said this before, you want to have regular monitoring of your account. So I have, as an example, alerts anytime a transaction hits my account. I get a text message saying, this is coming out of your account. And so it's a warning to me of like, wait a second, is that right or is that not right? And so that allows you, if you do see something that's off, you can call your bank right away. And that increases the chances of the bank being able to get your funds back dramatically. If you wait weeks, Steve, or months, it becomes much harder for us to recoup those funds. And so the message here is sooner the better, monitor regularly, and make sure you have a relationship and can call your bank if you do see something happening.
All right, Melissa, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, so people can reach out to me at treasury@associatedbank.com.
All right, Melissa, thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.